God and less of us. More of you, God, and less of us. Spirit living God, we want more of you and less of us. Jesus, we want more of you and less of us. Our Heavenly Father, we want more of you and less of us. I thank you for your presence. I just want to lift up the people in here today. I just feel a call from God just to lift you up in prayer. You're dealing with some sort of mental anguish, something upon your mind, deep into your soul, that is not of God. I don't know if you deal with fear, anxiety, frustration, unforgiveness, bitterness. It's taken a root in your heart. Depression. I feel like I just see this hand, God's hand just coming and ripping that root right out. Not mowing it over and dealing with your symptoms, but ripping that root right out. Spirit of living God, I just pray for anybody in here dealing with some sort of mental or emotional anguish right now. By the power and by the blood of Jesus, rip it out. Replace it with joy. Plant joy in that spot, God. Joy unspeakable. Let the joy of our Lord be our strength, God. I thank you that right now, whatever it is that they're dealing with, God, they lay it before you, before the King of Kings, before the healer and the deliverer. Deliver them from this mental and emotional anguish. They've been dealing with it for years and years and years. But the blood of Jesus is more than enough. I thank you for the stripes that Jesus bore for our healing. I thank you for the nails that you took to set us free. I just want to speak to your situation, and I want you, maybe if you're dealing with that, I want you to say this after me. I'm going to say it, then you repeat it. For the Son has set me free, so I am free indeed. Flesh, the enemy, they have spoken God's word. Let it be, God. Let it be. Walk in freedom today. Walk in freedom today. Father, we thank you for your word. Sharper than a double-edged sword. I thank you that it goes deeper than bone and marrow, that it gets to our soul and spirit. I thank you that it sets us free. Your word is what we need, and it washes us as white as snow. I thank you that your word will do exactly what it's been called to accomplish. I thank you that your word is not gone, but God, your word lasts forever. I thank you for your word, and I pray that you anoint me to preach the good news, to set the captive free, to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out the devil. That's more like it. Cast out the devil. Raise the devil to put him back down again. I don't know. He's under our feet, but Father, I thank you right now. I thank you for worship, that we can come together. It says your word as one body. Man, we got to join heaven for a moment. I thank you for that. God, I thank you for your word, though. It's what we need. May you grow us in your word. We love you. We want more of you and less of us. In Jesus' mighty name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, church. Hallelujah. Praise God. I ain't raising no devils up. Man, what was that about? Thank you, worship team. Appreciate you. Tech team as well. Welcome to First Open Bible. Looks like we grew from the last time I spoke to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hello. Good morning. I'm glad that you decided to join us for worship this morning. Thank you for joining us online as well. We appreciate it. My name is Pastor Harris, and I am the lead pastor. And I'm going to invite Pastor Bruce. He's our regional director, and his bride to come up for a special announcement this morning. And just so you know, I am not leaving, because some of y'all may be thinking that. Okay. When Pastor Bruce comes, something's wrong. No, no, this is good. This is good today. This is good, right? So Pastor Bruce, will you please come?
Well, it's good to be in church today. Amen. God is certainly good. And we're grateful. Many of you are old friends. And glad to meet new friends. Just this morning, as we were up here in front, some new friends came up, introduced themselves. It's always good to see God growing His church.
Amen.
And we're so thankful. It is true that I don't just come for tough days.
Yeah,
I come for good things too. Today's proof of that. And I am happy to bring you greetings from our Open Bible leadership team in Des Moines, Iowa. And we have our national office there and regional office. And we're grateful just for the Open Bible family. You know, there are great things that happen every day that we get very little opportunity to just tell those stories. But we're reminded on our journey that God is doing a great work in these last days around the world. And we have much to look forward to. And so I want to come today to bring you a special honor that Open Bible is bestowing on your pastor today. And one of the things that I love about the book of Acts, and Paul actually spoke these words to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. He was really kind of on a farewell tour in some regards. And Ephesus had been a very special place. God had moved mightily. And he comes back and he's greeting the elders at the church of Ephesus. And he recognizes this. He says, "It's the Holy Spirit that called you." And I want to say this, as much as I love Open Bible, and I know Pastor Harris loves Open Bible didn't call us.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit did.
Amen.
And that's a very dear and personal story to every pastor that is called of God. It's a very personal thing. And we can all look back at where those moments were that the Holy Spirit spoke to us. But Open Bible does recognize both education and experience and helps us along that journey. And I know we both went to Open Bible colleges and received our education there. And then jumping in and getting those years of experience together. And I remember here a number of years ago now when Harris and Sarah were serving as youth pastors here. And you were in a transition, and I remember the elders of the church really seeking the Lord and them saying to me, "We believe that God is putting His finger on Pastor Harris."
Now they've all left.
They've
all
left.
I'm just playing.
Man.
Just joking.
Abandoned you.
I'm totally joking.
But we agreed with that. And, you know, Open Bible has three levels of credentials. Not because one person's more important than the other. We love every one of our pastors the same. But a basic license is a recognition they've done the minimal requirements. Certified license, you have accomplished all of your education. You have sufficient experience that is proving your character. And then we have this thing called ordination. And just a few years ago, Open Bible National Leadership decided to change the approach to ordination. It used to be you had to apply for it. But just all of our executive team were talking, and we recognized, you know what? There really ought to be a recognition that you are just excelling in leadership. And so you shouldn't have to apply for it. You shouldn't have to ask for it. It ought to be bestowed on you by the Open Bible leadership team. And I love that shift. That was an important shift. And this last May, as our leaders gathered together, you were at the top of that list saying, "We recognize excellence." And it's not just in giftedness. It's not just in your speaking ability. It's in your character. It's in how you're leading your family. It's how you're leading the local church. And so our board asked the national board to approve this, and they agreed to that. And so we are going to bestow on Pastor Harris today, recognizing him with the highest level of, sorry about that, my friend.
You're okay.
One way to get you on your knee, isn't it?
Is this mine?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
That's your new license card. But
oh, cool.
We're recognizing an ordination license, highest level of excellence in open Bible, to your senior pastor. Remain standing, if you would. Remain standing, because I want to read this word out of 1 Timothy 4. And, you know, this chapter, Paul was talking to Timothy, don't let people look down on you because of your youth. You're not that young anymore.
Oh, thanks.
I could say that a few years ago, you're not that young.
I know.
But
thank you.
I love
thank
this
you.
At the tail end of this chapter. It says, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely.
Amen.
And that's really the responsibility of all of us personally. It's not the open Bible's looking over us, but it's really us looking over ourselves each and every day. In those moments when you're alone, in the moments when you're tested, he wants you to watch your life and doctrine closely.
Amen.
And so I want to pray over That's your good. Pastor. Reach your hand out to him. I know you all love him. And Father, we're thankful for this man that you've raised up to be a man of God. Thankful, Lord, for his love for you. We hear that in his expressions. We see that in his worship of you. We hear that in his preaching. And God, we know that because he's given his life fully to you. And as I lay my hands on Pastor Harris today, I give you thanks for him. But I also, Lord, ask for fresh anointing.
Yes,
I ask, Lord, that you will just give him everything he needs for every moment of each and every day. And God, we pray that you will strengthen his frame, that he may finish the race well.
Yes, God.
And I pray, Lord, that he will keep the church moving forward for your glory.
Yes, God.
We give you thanks for him in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
We love you. Believe in you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well,
I love you. Thank you. It's the God in me, man. It's the God in me. Thank you so much. What an honor. Appreciate that, Pastor Bruce, as I call you boss. Thank you. Thanks, boss. And I mean that with honor and respect. So, well, this morning, I'm going to preach. Why? Because I love to preach. That's why. God's got a word for you, church. Got a word for you. We're going to continue our sermon series titled Entrusted with the Gospel. Church, we're experiencing a hijacked gospel. The series boldly addresses the problems we face head on. It calls out errors and provides balance and love to help get us back on track as believers. First Open Bible, we will not encourage partiality of God's word and undermine the unifying work of the Holy Ghost. Partiality is not simply not gospel, it is anti-gospel. If you don't know what that means, it means you can't pick and choose what you want out of God's word and call it God's word. In these days of confusion and deep divide, this series reminds us that only the truth of the gospel will bring us clarity that we all desperately need.
Amen.
John 8, 31 and 32 says this, Jesus said to my people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples, if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what, church?
Set me free. Amen. I've titled today's sermon, Blessed to Bless. I want to ask you some questions. You don't necessarily have to answer them, but I want you to think about them. And not just with your head, but I want you to think about them with your heart. What's the good news of salvation? Why are we saved? Last question. What should we do with our blessings? Now, the good news of salvation is foundational to everything else we believe in. And because of that, Satan is always attacking the gospel. If he can get us off track, everything else falls apart, and then we're going to walk down bad roads, wrong roads in our life. So the enemy is relentless in attacking the gospel, and he does it in many ways. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 10 says this, "Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith." Amen? The gospel is under attack. One way it's under attack is through false teachers of God's word tickling your ears. Think about that. That's weird. Like somebody's going to walk over and be like, "Hey, get up." What they're doing is they're presenting that Jesus is here to serve our desires. As if we're created to be blessed here on earth only for our own gain. It's a false gospel being preached, not the gospel from God's word. Let me explain. Last week, Pastor Mark, you preached on Jude. He did a great job. I appreciate it. One of his main points was to be aware of false teachers, false teachings, and heresies. You weren't here last week. They said, "Anybody know what a heresy is?" And I just raised my hand. If you don't get it, Pastor Harris. Okay. All right. It was funnier last week. Jokes are all about timing, by the way. Hallelujah. But Pastor Mark, he mentioned that people want to teach that we are equal with God, as if God has, we're here, and as if God has come down to our level, or as if we have come up to his level, as if God exists for our liking and our pleasures and our bidding. But that's a twisted and false gospel. Many American pulpits have preached a gospel that is all about us, teaching a salvation that is for our kingdom and not for the kingdom of God. And here's what the result that we are seeing is. It's a church in America that has started to become Christless. We've missed Jesus' words entirely of deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. A twisted gospel of Jesus that has inserted the American dream into it. The gospel Jesus preached was not about working harder and gaining more and achieving your personal goals. The biblical gospel is not about gaining more blessings here on earth to store up for yourself. Matthew 6, 19 and 20 and 21 says this, "Don't store up your treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there your desires of your heart will be also." But church, sadly, in the last 40 years or so, what we've seen, and many have called, they've called it the American Charismatic Circus. People took word of faith, and they made it, name it, claim it. They took God's prosperity, and they made it the gospel. They took God's amazing grace, and they made it greasy. The focus was switched to it's all about me and what I can receive from Christianity. The big hair, the personal jets, the big mansions, self-motivating, self-promoting messages, creating money embezzlement, sex scandals, swindlers, and fake fundraisers. Y'all seen it? If you've seen it, say amen. What has been sold is a fake gospel, and it silenced the Spirit of God in our nation. It silenced the Spirit of God in many churches. It stripped the followers of Jesus of their reason for their salvation. It has stripped the followers of Jesus for the reason of our prosperity. And you know what? It must be exposed and brought back to the fire of the Holy Spirit to be purified. And God has asked me to try to do that a little bit today. Praise God. Yay. Now, this twisted gospel has encouraged followers to read the Bible with a tainted perception, a perception of personal gain. What's in it for me? Y'all wore good shoes today, right? I did, on purpose. I knew it was coming. But church, God is not a magical vending machine. He's not a genie. Heretical teachings say, if you have some sort of trial or challenge in your life, or if you're currently poor or sick, you must not be in God's will. They teach that if you're in God's favor, you're always healthy, you're always rich, and you always have material possessions. I wonder what the disciples of Jesus would have to say about those heresies. Come on now. This twisted gospel teaches the Bible as if man is the hero. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me for thinking that. But church, God is not a supporting actor in your life. We are in his cast. We are in his unfolding story of redemption. Be careful, the wrong mindset, the wrong attitude, and the wrong perception can lead you down a path of unrighteousness that is full of pride. 1 John 2:16 says, for the world offers only cravings of physical pleasure and cravings for everything we see and the pride in our achievements and our possessions. These are not from the Father, but they're from this world. I love how New King James says it. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from this world. Now I'm thankful this morning to be ordained. The highest level of licensing in our denomination. And like he said, I didn't personally seek out this honor, but I'm thankful that the region chose me with a group of others. I'm very thankful for that. And I'm honored. But let me tell you, without God, I don't know where I'd be. It's because of the goodness of God. Amen. And his constant forgiveness from my life and the direction that he's given me that I can even stand here today. And as I receive that honor, I truly want God to receive all the glory. Because I'm nothing without him. I'm a lost sheep full of a bunch of dirtiness. But I'm thankful he's brought me this far, and I'm honored to be able to boast about my God, my Savior, and my Lord. The Westminster Confession says this: the chief purpose of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Today's celebration is another day I get to do that, and I'm so thankful I get to do that with you today. Now, this sermon was stirred up by a conversation I had a couple weeks ago. I was talking to somebody, and they were asking jokingly, but I could see it in their eyes. They were trying to figure it out. They're saying, hey, so, wait, you don't have a personal jet? You don't have all the money? You don't take from the tithe? You don't blah, 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 all this stuff. They kept asking me these questions, and I kept, why do you think that? And God just started stirring my heart. I had things to say at the moment, but man, it was really, really bugging me that they would think that a pastor or a preacher or a leader of a church or even any kind of leader would have this kind of life. and do these kind of things and you don't have a girl on the side and you don't have all this money, you don't got a 10 Beamers and you're not, it's just like, and I asked, why you think that? It really got me. It got me thinking not only about what God has called me to, but also called what God has called me to as a believer in Christ, a follower of Jesus. What is it, God, that you really want for my life? It got me stripped down and broken down to the basic of where God wants me to be. And I kept thinking about it and thinking about it. And I'm like, God, forgive us of this perception that we've made in America. That's not right. I was thinking about it, and our greatest blessing is that we've been rescued from the fires of hell and eternal damnation. For Christ's blood, his sacrifice, and his body was beaten and broken to save our souls and bring us back to the Creator who created us. That alone deserves not only our devotion and our appreciation, but it also deserves our highest gratitude, and that is our praise. You know what else it deserves? It deserves the rest of our lives. The Bible constantly teaches us to take our eyes off of us and fix them back onto God, who is more than able, who's more than worthy to receive all of our praise. Can you say worthy if you agree?
Worthy.
He's worthy. He is worthy. The Bible constantly teaches us to take our eyes off of us. Man, I want you to study your word, okay? You got to study your word. You will not last. You will not survive, and you will not be strong unless you study your word. You just can't do it. Especially in these days. They get rougher and rougher each and every year. I want you to study your word and see that our lives after salvation is no longer about our personal gain. Our lives after salvation should be about the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 tells us, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Praise God. Matthew 6:33. We have to go from an attitude and a mindset of, what is God going to do for me? And how is God going to bless me? To an attitude of, what can I do for you, Lord? Now, does God bless us? Yes. Praise God. Are we children with an incredible inheritance? Are we his children?
Yes.
Yes. Will God help us with our personal issues and our circumstances?
Yes,
he will. Can God heal us?
Yes,
he can. Will he give us favor and forgiveness when we don't deserve it?
Yes.
He's already doing it. Are we the head and not the tail? Are we above and not beneath? Absolutely. Are we his beloved? Yes. Are we the apple of his eye?
Yes.
Of course we are. God does want you to prosper. He does. He does, he does, he does. God's number one reason for wanting you to prosper and be prosperous is so you can be a channel to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you can invest into God's kingdom. Now I want you to think about this parable that Jesus tells about the parable of the talents. Think about that. If you haven't read it, you got to read it this week. Some people had more than others. But everyone was called to invest and be good stewards. All of them. The point of the story was however much you have or whatever you've been blessed with, you're to invest it back to the master. Don't bury your blessing. Invest them so God can entrust you with more. But be careful, church. The root of evil is the love of money. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Mm-mm. Carry them out. Be a conduit of blessing. Be a conduit of blessing, not a silo of gathering. Now, I'm not saying be foolish with your money and your blessings. I'm not saying that. Be a good steward. What I'm saying is invest your blessings into godly things for His glory. And if you don't, you could easily stumble away from the faith. God wants you to have more than enough so you can be blessed to be a blessing. But it's never been about our own personal gain. It's never been about that. It's always been about the kingdom of God being glorified. Who wants homework? Okay, five people. Sweet, praise God. Five people, all right. It's not real hard, okay? You want some homework? Anybody want some homework? Raise your hand. Okay, praise God. Seven people. I'm just playing. That was a lot more that time. All right, here's your homework. Two things. I want you to study this word. The word contentment. C-O-N-T-E-N-T-M-E-N-T. Contentment. While you're studying that word, I want you to read 1 Timothy chapter 6. Write it down. 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's your homework this week. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the word contentment. Amen? Amen. I love that God wants me to prosper. I love it. I'm so thankful for it. He doesn't, unless God has called you to be poor, to call, you know, some people are maybe called to be poor and sell everything and go, right? Unless you're not called to that, God called you to be prosperous. By the way, if you sell everything and you're poor, they're probably more rich in so many other things than we will ever be. God wants me and you to be prosperous. But let me tell you, that is not the gospel. Uh-oh. Many people have come to Christ for salvation and their problems got much worse. And even worse than that, some people came to Jesus and trusted in His saving grace, and they were murdered for it. You don't believe it? What about the disciples? What about missionaries? What about right now? Somebody was beheaded in the Middle East, because they said Jesus is the Lord, not Allah. Not Buddha, not Krishna, but Jesus, and murdered right in front of their family. That's real. We fallaciously conclude that this is my life. This is my ministry. Those are my talents. That's my money to spend the way I want to. But the gospel teaches through salvation in Jesus Christ, we are called to share in the sufferings of Christ. And we do that by humbling ourselves in obedience to do His will, not my own. Many of you know or don't know, I may seem cool and collected, but I absolutely was terrified to preach when I was younger. I even had an opportunity my senior year in high school to preach. I said, absolutely not. I can't do it. I was so afraid. I changed my major in Bible college because I wanted to be a teacher, because I was afraid to get behind the pulpit, because I know that I'm going to be judged much greater because I'm a teacher of God's word. I was afraid. I was afraid even when I was out of Bible college in a Pentecostal church, never filled with the Holy Ghost, teaching out of my own knowledge of what I learned in Bible school and even when I got my master's, right? It was all out of my head until I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And then it was like rivers of living water. And I went away from my will and the things I know and the things that I want to do and all the insecurities and the passions that I had. And I went to, God, what is it You want me to do? Trust me, if I can do it, y'all can do it, okay? You can. It's a long road, but you won't regret it, especially on Judgment Day. His will, church, not our will. The gospel of Jesus is not a how to have your best life now pyramid scheme like some pulpits would have you believe. I'll say that again. I'm so glad God gave me that, because I was like, ooh, come on. I didn't think I'd be doing these in my desk. I was like, ooh, that's good. The gospel of Jesus is not, church, a how to have your best life now pyramid scheme as some pulpits have promised you. The gospel of Jesus is about God's redemptive plan for humanity. And it's for his glory and his kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. Our salvation story should be about how we turned our lives around, denied ourselves, picked up our cross, and followed Jesus. Our salvation story is about how we are now free from sin, guilt, and shame, and we can now live in God's glory with endless blessings before we stand in his glory forever. Here's the goal of a believer. The goal of a believer should not be about personal gain. The goal of a believer is about being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's our goal. If what you did this morning looked like Christ, praise God. If it didn't, ask God to help you. We are to be conformed into God's image. Romans 12:2 tells us this. It says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn. It's when you change the way you think that this next part will happen. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good. It's not only good, it's pleasing. It's not only pleasing, it's perfect. We become more like Jesus through the renewing of our mind and the subjection of our flesh. Colossians 3:1-5 says this. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, praise God, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at a place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life. Let me park there. For you died, what happened when you accept Jesus Christ? What did you do with this life? You died to it. For you died to this life. Where's my real life? And your real life is hidden with Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful things lurking within you, these earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity. Come on, sexual immorality. Tell me that. We had a whole month of that in America. Impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy. What? For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. The old me, the old worldly desires, they must die. So my new life in Christ can live. Thank you, God. If you're to live a life, if you're to live the gospel you've been entrusted with, you must deny yourself. This is not a popular thing to preach in America. I'm sorry. But I stopped trying to be popular back in high school. After high school, I didn't care anymore, right? You like me, you don't. That's what it is. I'm going to worship God. Praise God. You want to worship with me? Let's do it. You want to walk this life following God? Let's do it, right? You like me or not, I just got to be me. But you got to deny yourself. Matthew 6:16-24 says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples. Disciples are people that follow after Jesus, by the way. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Wow. Now, does denying self put self to death? That's what it means. What it does is it puts ourself to death and it raises Christ to the center of our life. Jesus is to be glorified, not us. More of you, God, less of us. This isn't, I know I want it, even Jesus said, man, if this cup can pass from me, oh, that'd be great. but it's not my will, it's your will be done. Right? There's times in life that you're just going to do something and you're going to be like, man, I really, really don't want to do this. But if you want me to, God, I'll do it. It's not my will, but it's your will that will be done. I hope it's more than one time in your life, too. It should be many, many times. Deny yourself and put Christ at the center. Now, this twisted American gospel of self-indulgence and self-worship, church, it's a sin. Have no other idols before me. Have no other gods before me. You can be a god to yourself. And when you do that, there's no contentment in it. We have the nature of sin. Welcome to humanity. If you fell short this morning, hey, you're in good company. Ditto. Right? That's how it goes. We have a nature of sin, and that is our essence. Our hearts are predisposed to love everything else but God. We're born into sin. We love self more than God. We love wrong more than right. We love evil more than holiness. We love our kingdom more than God's kingdom. And without God, we are dead. We're dead in our sin. And guess what? A dead man can do absolutely nothing to remedy his condition. True? Lazarus didn't raise himself. It takes an act of God to impart life into a dead man. It takes an act of God to save those who are dead in their sins. So how does a dead man live, Pastor? It's only by the good news of salvation that we can live again. And live like we were created to live. Saved and blessed to be a blessing. You've been grafted in. Abraham was blessed, so the whole world will be blessed. And you've been grafted into that. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 says this. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins. Yes, I was. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we are subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God. Church, say, but God. Say it like you mean it. But God. Woo, so many times in my life, but God. Right, I'm walking through that, but God. I don't have that, but God. I don't know about this situation, but God. I'm not healed yet, but God, right? But God, I love that in the Word. But God, what is He? He is so rich in mercy. That's what He is. And He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Verse 6, for He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to all future ages as examples of this incredible wealth of His grace and kindness toward us. See, He's rich in mercy, and he has lots of wealth and grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all that He has done for us, who are united with Christ Jesus. In verse 8, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't or cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Praise God for His gifts. Brent, will you please come? Church, will you take out your communion this morning? Maybe try to get a little jump on it. Try to open that bad boy. I got to do it because I'm supposed to lead you guys, right? Remember that one about like a couple months ago? Nobody could open it. We're like taking those tiny little pencils and we're stabbing it and looking for a straw, right? It was weird. Everybody's like, ugh. Some of y'all came up to me, it's like, I stained my shirt. I stained my pants. I was like, all right, let's talk about anger, right? Just slow up. Slow up with it. It's going to be good. Church, it is our honor to serve God with our possessions. It's our honor to serve God with our blessings. It's our honor to serve God with our lives. It's our honor. For he has rescued us from eternal death and raised us from the dead by giving us eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven initiated our relationship back to him by giving his son, Jesus, to die for us. We did nothing. We did nothing to deserve such a gift. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He loved us before we loved him. We're rescued, so we have the opportunity to follow him. You don't have to follow him if you don't want to, but you're going to miss out. We are saved so we can have the opportunity to serve him. And we are blessed to have the opportunity to bless him. This life, church, is about him. It's about his glory, and it's not about ours. This life is a gift. Salvation and rebirth is a gift. Now, when I understand the biblical gospel, I'm going to know that my life is not my own. Did you hear me, church? When I understand the biblical gospel, not the American gospel, not the prosperity gospel, not these other things that they keep claiming what actually is the gospel of Jesus Christ tells me that my life is no longer my own. What's going to happen is I'm going to realize that life is not about my personal gain and my personal glory, but instead it's to make the name of Jesus known. It's to make the name of Jesus famous. And to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is done right now in heaven. And you know what? God can do that through my life. And he can do it through your life. And he does it when we give him all the glory. Every time he blesses me. Every time you are blessed, give God glory. We are so blessed. Why? Because God is rich in mercy. He is rich in mercy. We at First Open Bible, we have a thing called open communion. What that means is you need to be a part of the church, which means you're saved, not a part of our church. I don't care if you're visiting today. As long as you're a Christian, you join us. I want us to all take a moment this morning and remember what Christ has done for us. Communion reminds us of the price that Jesus, the Lamb of God, had to pay for the forgiveness of our sins. 1 John 1:29 says this, then the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, behold, or the Lamb of God who takes away the sin, all the sins of the world. Behold, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Now, these simple elements of this little bread thing, I think it's made of bread. I hope. It's edible. I don't know what it is, but this little bread, this little juice, these are elements that represent God's great love for us by sending the Lamb of God who set us free from sin and death so we can live with him forever. You know what, church? Jesus gave his entire life. So in return, we can give him the rest of ours. I want us to come together with humble hearts and remember how highly favored we are because God's one and only Son gave his life for us. We are blessed to bless. Let's pray.
Father, as we take this bread, we remember your son Jesus. He gave up his body to be broken for us. He was beaten and lashed so we could be healed. We remember what you did 2,000 years ago, that you were thinking about us when you were on that cross, that we would have an opportunity to either accept or deny the perfect gift of salvation, to follow after you. We remember that when we know you, that's the greatest blessing of all. We are blessed, God, because of what you did 2,000 years ago, and we can never repay it. But God, I pray that you just stir hearts in here this morning and online, that they'll say, there's parts of my life that I need to give to you. You sacrificed your life for mine, and I need to give those to you. And I need to give you glory when I'm blessed. When I get that raise, I want to give you glory. When I get that, my bank account goes up, I want to give you glory. When my family comes back to Christ, I want to give you glory. When I'm healed, I want to give you glory. When I'm honored, I want to give you glory. God, whatever happens, even in the worst things, I want to give you glory, because I know through it, God, I'm going to gain patience. And through patience, I'm going to get endurance. And through endurance, I'm going to look and be more purified to look like your son, Jesus. I thank you for these things. May you receive the glory. I thank you for the body that was given for us to be blessed. You're a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me partake of the bread. Now we're going to take this juice. Jesus, I thank you for the blood that was spilled out for me. I thank you for the blood that was poured out. It says in your word that this blood washes me as white as snow. I come to you with filthy rags, and you come with your righteousness, and you put a robe around me, and you purify anything and everything I'm around by the blood of Jesus. I thank you that the blood of Jesus will also wash my mind, my heart, my soul, my impurities, my sicknesses and my diseases, my infirmities. I thank you that the blood was poured out for me for my salvation. I thank you, for I am blessed to be a blessing because you first loved us while we were still sinners. I thank you for pouring out your blood for us. And we remember this morning what it's like to be a believer. Help us, because I know it was not easy. From what I read in your word and what I can just only imagine with my feeble mind, you carrying that cross after being beaten for me and laying on that cross and taking 3 nails for me, that you would go and you could call down angels, but you didn't because you thought of me, God. I can't imagine. But I thank you for that free gift, for the blood that was poured out for me. Worthy is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Help us be vessels today as we remember, for your kingdom, not our own. And if you've blessed us, let's be blessings to others in whatever capacity that we have, talents, treasures, or whatever. You deserve it, God. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may partake. Now, if you're in the front row, it's behind you, or if right in front of you, there's a little spot that you can put a little cup if you'd like, so help us clean up later. Church, we're going to worship here in a moment, and then we're going to leave. And I haven't said this to some of you in a long time, so I want to say it today. I want you to go change the world, because the world changer lives in you. But don't do it for your glory, do it for God's glory. There's so many people you're going to run into today that doesn't know this freedom, that thinks that richness comes from a bank account, that thinks that wealth is from all the things that they own. But when we came into this world, we had nothing, and when we go out, we'll take nothing with us other than eternal things. You got to share the gospel with people that don't know this. They don't know this love, but they can, and they can use you. And if anything happens that's awesome and praiseworthy, give God the glory. Amen?
Give him the glory. Will you stand with me? We're going to worship the King of Kings before we go today. We love you.